victims of narcissistic behavior and don't even know it. Response to narcissistic abuse is rage. Many people have a lot of dissociated rage and think, I don't deserve care, dignity, or empathy. Healthy people become a dumping ground. Blame the victim. They keep the person on the defensive. You will cycle on a decision tree, go nowhere for months or years, weep, mourn, agonize. Rein people back in and then put it back in a box. You're not making it up. It's happening.
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Many of us are victims of narcissistic behavior and don't even know it. And I talk about a lot of different types of abuse. Physical abuse, psychological abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, spiritual abuse. Narcissistic abuse is on the list. And I'm going to tell you guys a secret. The number one response to narcissistic abuse is rage. Amen. And many people have a lot of dissociated rage from the narcissistic abuse they've endured. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I'm just going to read a passage that is the exact opposite of what we're going to be learning about. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Pay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. You guys have heard about different versions of the Bible, Amplified Version, New King James Version, King James Version, English Standard Version. I'm going to give you the Narcissistic Standard Version. What is love? Abhor all threats. Cling to your self-image and your idols. Prefer yourself. Be fervent in your efforts to destroy the confidence of those around you so you can be exalted as the God of your own universe. Distributing to people the manipulations and the tactics of control that are necessary to ensure their behavior. Destroy those who persecute you. Curse them often. That you are the one that has a support staff to rejoice with you while you do not rejoice with the gains and the the good things that come to others. You know, narcissism is a big problem. And it is entirely contrary to the behavior that should accompany a true disciple of Christ. It is entirely contrary, which is so interesting that you find so many narcissistic personalities in the body of Christ. And one of the scariest parts when God called me to become a pastor is I read a statistic that pastors are like 70% more likely to be a narcissist than your average person, as are CEOs and entrepreneurs. Like, what? Oh, no. So I'm not saying that pastors are going to be narcissists, but it's just some of these things that come out are just so wild. Narcissistic personality disorder is a mental disorder characterized by a lifelong pattern of exaggerated feelings of self-importance, an excessive craving for admiration, and a diminished ability to empathize with others' feelings. What I'm going to tell you is, narcissistic personality disorder is classified as a mental health disorder. It can be diagnosed. Most people that are going to narcissistically abuse others in their sphere will not be diagnosed as narcissistic personality disorder. Why? Because narcissistic behaviors exist on a continuum from mild to moderate to severe. And to be completely frank, most of us are mild to moderate. You really have to be processed in Christ to not exhibit any narcissistic behaviors whatsoever under any circumstance. I mean, but there are narcissistic characteristics that for any given person will be measured on a continuum, and only at the very severe end of the continuum will a person be diagnosable NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. This is important to say because a lot of us have the scars of narcissistic abuse and mistreatment. And they did not come from people diagnosed with NPD. I'm going to give you a few characteristics of narcissism. Narcissism is characterized by an overinflated sense of self-importance. And this is one of the things. It's like, you see this because the pastor's like, well, if I, as the senior pastor, don't preach on Resurrection Sunday, people aren't going to get saved. It can be that kind of a sneaky thing, but it certainly has a lot of ways that it could play out. An over-exaggerated sense of self-importance can manifest in almost every area. It also is characterized by constant thoughts about being more successful, powerful, smart, loved, or attractive than others. Another characteristic of narcissism is feelings of superiority and desire to only associate with high-status people. So, when you find folks that have no desire to minister to the prostitutes, to the drug addicts, to the people in the cycles of addiction, but, they want to rub shoulders only with, politicians. Like, that's a sign. That's a characteristic. Characteristic is a need for excessive admiration. They put a demand on the people around them to admire them. Another characteristic is a sense of entitlement. I deserve this, so I will take it, whether I am able to afford it or not, whether I've earned it or not. There is a willingness to take advantage of others to achieve goals. The world is my plantation, and I will manipulate the people in it to get what I deserve. It is characterized by a lack of understanding and consideration for other people's feelings and needs. And it's characterized by arrogant or snobby behaviors and attitudes. Now, I'm going to give you guys a few quotes that narcissists may say. And if you are guilty of saying these quotes, don't get too excited yet. Jesus is coming for you. Okay. That's enough of me talking about myself. What do you think about me? It's really not easy being superior to everyone I know. I take pride in getting other people to bend their rules for me. Let me explain to you why this is your fault. Wait a minute. Let's just get one thing straight. How do you think this makes me feel? All right. We're talking about it. We're going there. Look, that's why I gave you that scripture in the beginning. This is the kind of stuff that runs contrary to a true disciple of Christ and the character we are called to exhibit. Narcissus. Who is Narcissus? Now, Narcissus is a legend of a hunter, and it comes from Greek mythology. So, this guy was good looking, and he goes his whole life rejecting romantic encounters. You ain't good enough. You ain't good enough. You ever meet that guy? Your toes aren't perfect. You meet that guy? Your lips aren't perfect. Your SAT score wasn't perfect. Like, they can't find the one. And so this guy goes through all these, and then there's all these different versions of how things play out. Because actually, there's not just one story of Narcissus. There's a few versions of this particular mythology. But at the end of the day, the common thread in all of the versions of his story is that he comes to a pool of water at the end of his journey. And he wants to quench his thirst, but he sees his reflection. And he falls deeply in love with himself. No suitor is good enough for me. I have fallen in love with myself. And so, in one version of the story, he turns into a flower and just sits by the side of the water. In another, he commits suicide because he cannot experience the reciprocation of love from his reflection. It's a very sad story, but I'm going to give you the key. Narcissism is best understood as the exaltation of an image. Narcissists essentially live for the sake of producing and upholding an image of themselves that they want others to perceive. So the danger of falling in love with an image is that once you have fallen in love with that image, you will do anything for that image. It is a form of absolute idolatry. The image becomes God, and the impact they have on people becomes the afterthought. So, if you look at maybe like a mainstream actor, they are going to come on that movie set and they are going to require and demand everyone kowtow and bow to them because this movie couldn't possibly be successful without their lead role. Supporting cast, not a chance. I'm too important. I wouldn't allow my image to be tarnished by being placed in supporting cast. Yeah, that's narcissism. You know, when the image becomes God, it becomes really easy to dehumanize people around the maintenance of an image. You know, another example, a narcissist that you would find in business, their image is successful businessman, but their business isn't so successful right now. So what do? To exalt the image, do they pray and fast and seek God and humble themselves? No, they lie, cheat, steal, and use people to promote an image, successful businessman. Meaning, narcissists become extraordinarily unsafe. The interesting thing about people that are grappling with narcissistic behaviors is often when you get into the psychology of narcissism, you find that people exhibiting these characteristics view the world as fundamentally unsafe. Not only do they create an unsafe world, but their worldview is this world is unsafe. Therefore, they perceive life and the people in their lives as a game to be played. People become pawns. And the drive is to be better, superior, in control, adored, or beyond reproach. So, one of the things that is important to understand is that oftentimes this view of the world as fundamentally unsafe comes from a childhood where this happened. And now a determination has been made, if I'm going to navigate this extraordinarily unsafe world, I'm going to do so with the maximum amount of felt empowerment, safety, and success. So, for the world that narcissistic personalities create, those that are being hurt or abused by this type of behavior are funneled into a path of hypervigilance. What does that mean? We have to think about what the narcissist is thinking about. How is this affecting the narcissist? Have I performed well enough to appease the narcissist? What will the consequence be if I don't meet the expectations of the narcissist? In order to survive the environment of this narcissist, I have to figure out how to become a participant in a universe in which this person is the center. Or else. When people grow up with narcissistic parents, it leads to confusion later in life because that individual is going to be very challenged with living in a universe in which their p- parent, their narcissistic parent, is no longer the center of their world. There can be failure to launch, lack of confidence, all kinds of symptoms. In addition to the denial of a sense of self, some children really struggle to identify who they are or who they are in Christ because of the overwhelming pressure to produce and to perform under narcissistic abuse. So they don't know who they are. The problem that this can lead to in the body of Christ is when people are taken to church and raised in the home of a narcissistic personality, it also blocks the ability to really intake the identity we derive from Christ. Because we're being preached about who Jesus is, but then we are living in a world characterized by this parent at the center of their own universe and us as an extension of that. There's a lot of pain in the body of Christ and really in this whole world from these kinds of environments. There can be the creation of a perspective that one is not worthy of being protected or treated with dignity, care, and respect. So when a person journeys through an extended period of time under the rule of a narcissist or narcissist personality, they will leave that environment and think, I don't deserve care, dignity, or empathy anywhere I go. So you'll have a woman that comes out of a household with a narcissistic father that goes from one broken relationship to the next, being mistreated, having a subconscious program that says, I don't deserve good treatment, but bitterness in another area of their soul over how awful this world and all of these bad people are being to me. It's a lot of confusion. Another consequence that people run into is that there can be conditioning to not protect oneself. Because when we are sitting under the rule of a narcissist, to protect yourself is to violate the very law of that universe. So, narcissists will exalt an image above all else, viewing the world and everyone in it as a game to be played. This will cause them to dehumanize, to lie, to cheat, and to abuse their way into the exaltation of that image, leaving a path of destruction in the wake. Now, there is narcissistic personality disorder, which is very severe, but the reality is, for many of us, there are images that we don't want touched. I mean, let's just be real. And push that button and the narcissistic behavior will come out of us on that issue. One of the major techniques of narcissistic behavior is to deny the offense we have caused and turn over the blame on the abused person. It's called blame shifting. Blame shifting. I did this to hurt you, But because I'm maybe so ashamed of my own behavior, or I'm so interested in exalting this image of who I am to be beyond reproach, I'm going to figure out a way in my head to convince myself that this is your fault. And then I'm going to project that logic tree onto you until you agree. And it may take me 5 minutes, 5 days, or 5 weeks, but I am so committed to this thing, I won't stop until you submit. Targets of narcissistic abuse are likely to project the anger and the rage they have derived from the narcissist's personality in their lives onto the safe people in their lives. Onto the safe people. Because the narcissist is such an unsafe person, emotional transparency is not achievable. So you will find that there may be a man married to a narcissistic wife that has a lot of pent-up rage and takes it out on his employees where he has a place of power, and then goes home and derives more rage from the narcissistic treatment he's getting at home. And vice versa. So there won't be an address like, you've made me mad, you've really hurt my feelings here. Because the narcissist is going to blame shift, gaslight, and do other techniques. So that person must process their rage in another place. This makes being in relationship with narcissistic personalities difficult. It also makes survivors of narcissistic abuse challenged when they come around healthy people, because healthy people become a dumping ground for the issues they have hidden from the source of those issues. So you find people that drive away the healthy people in their lives and perform for the unhealthy people. Another thing, but did I go too deep too fast? No. Is this like, I feel like I'm preaching to somebody. It's heavy. We don't talk about narcissism enough in the body of Christ. We don't talk about narcissism enough. Because I think, you know, there are people out there that think that there is no hope for narcissists. I disagree. I think there is hope for everyone. Amen. But sometimes you got to shine the light on the devil. Narcissists find accountability very difficult. They run from it. This is, I think, more evident in marriage than anywhere else. Because you know you're married to a narcissist when you say something like, we've really hit a wall in this relationship. Can we talk to our pastor or a qualified marriage counselor? And the answer is universally no. Because there's no accountability. They don't want anyone to be able to weigh in on the behavior. They don't want outside wisdom. They don't want wisdom. They want their version of reality to go unchallenged by anyone that has power or authority to impose change. They run from accountability. Anyone that brings a corrective voice to a narcissist's behavior will, in many cases, until that person begins to repent and desire change, become the target of a defamation campaign. Oh, you want to have a sit down with your pastor and talk about our problems, which you think are my problems. Well, I'll tell you what. I looked up every negative comment anyone has made about that pastor over the last 30 years. I created a document, and let's review that before we sit with this person. I'm going to find a way to disqualify them from any kind of impact. Another thing that they will do is they will work overtime to take back control if anything gets destabilized. One of the things that needs to happen when we say, well, we're going to break a cycle of narcissistic behavior, is that we need to inform people that everyone needs accountability in their lives. Universally, it is a problem if you decline accountability. You are not the all-amazing, extraordinary perfection you think you are. The very fact that you have declined accountability is the evidence that you have an issue, friend. And if you can't hear me say it, here's Dan Duvall's tape. Let's listen to that together while he blows you up. Look, God sent me to do it so you don't have to. Like, the... Also, one of the things about narcissistic behavior is that when, and this is a slightly different vein, but something that I've noticed and mapped over the years, when therapy communities coddle people in their brokenness and refuse to hold people accountable to transformation. Just say, you know what, you are broken. Let's make you an idol, an image. Your whole image is you are a broken victim. Let's coddle that. When there is no accountability to transform in the environment, that is a disservice that actually drives narcissistic behavior out of those that have been injured and wounded and holds them hostage to their situation. We always hold people accountable to a path of transformation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, in narcissistic abuse, shame is actually at the center of the playbook. Shame is actually at the center of the playbook. One of the reasons why, you know, you may have a person that has narcissistic behaviors is because they have a part that believes the world is fundamentally unsafe. Why? Because they were heavily abused by their own parents and were not strong enough to protect themselves or save themselves from that treatment. Therefore, they hate themselves. They have self-contempt. They have shame. And now they have to protect themselves from ever finding themselves in that situation again. So we have this part of them that sits as a poor little broken boy, and this part of them that becomes the protector of the poor little broken boy. The protector becomes the narcissist, and the poor little boy becomes the vulnerability that we hold out if everything breaks down in all of our narcissistic strategies to pull people back into our control manipulation cycles. Everything broke. It's a poor little broken boy inside of me. Oh, that's the part I've been trying to reach all of these years of this broken manipulative relationship. He's finally out. I'm going to sign back up for more years of mistreatment. You're not going to see that little boy again until he needs to be seen. You know, but shame can sit at the center of the narcissistic playbook. And truly, parts work can be effective as dismantling the entire narcissistic structure. If we understand parts, if we understand brokenness, and we are able to pair that with effective deliverance strategies, I do believe that over time, narcissists can see new life. True transformation. But I don't believe that true transformation comes to narcissists from surface-level ministry. I don't. I think that narcissists can sit in a church for 20 years and abuse their family every one of those years and be an usher at the end of the day. The entire structure around this behavior system has to be dismantled and confronted at the level at which it exists, which is why I believe there's a lot of hope. Now, narcissists fundamentally center their entire lives around upholding an image. So to produce that image, they lie, they cheat, they steal, they abuse, they manipulate. They will romance and charm. Also, manipulative tactics. You know, one of the characteristics of a narcissist is that he will shower that woman with flowers and praise and a brand new car. But the moment she marries him, though, oh, it's very, very different. Now, it's bow to my will, worship me, and you will be deprived of every convenience, every need that you have, everything that is important to you that you thought you were going to get when you signed up for this. You know, narcissists often have the need to control their environments in order to maintain the image they idolize. So if you are part of that environment, you must be controlled. You must be controlled. So control spirits and narcissistic spirits are like peas in a pod. And narcissists will partner with shame to pull this off. Not only will they leverage the shame on the inside of them, they will create shame on the inside of you or their targets. They do this in several ways. Double binds. Also, performance. If you fail to meet the narcissist's expectation, you will be shamed for a failure to perform. You will experience shame for not making the entire matter about the narcissist and their emotions. They will use guilt and manipulation to make a situation all about how it impacted them emotionally, and you are left with shame for not being considerate. And narcissists have a playbook around gaining control in the lives of those around them by strategically chipping away at self-confidence and destroying self-perception. I'll give you a few examples in a second. Why do they do this? Well, narcissists want the people around them to feel powerless because when they have all the power in the relationship, they have the control they need to exalt the image. And the problem that people will run into is that when people trapped in the cycle take back control by refusing to cooperate with the playbook and allow God to begin to correct their self-image, the narcissist will retaliate quickly and harshly. And sometimes it is requiring extraordinary measures and boundaries in order to make that transition, at least in the short term. Let me give you a few games that narcissists play. Listen, I just really need someone that supports me. I just need someone to support me. Response. Well, this morning I made you your favorite breakfast, bathed the kids, took them to school, took care of the bills, cleaned the house. Narcissist, you don't understand me. That doesn't make me feel supported. You need help. You are so awful. You remind me of my father always shaming me for what you do. See what I did there? I just reversed it. I actually turned a whole list of very good things into an accusation to take power in the relationship and establish control. Now I'm controlling the narrative. You are an unsupportive partner, and I'm the victim. Response: how can I help you feel supported? Narcissist: I just can't take you. I have to get out of here. If you weren't such a horrible partner, I wouldn't always be depressed. So there's actually no actual definitions provided for what makes support. So what qualifies as support? Who knows? You're held to an impossible standard with a moving target that can be moved as frequently or as often as a narcissist needs to move it in order to assure control and power in that relationship. What does that do? That puts a person on a performance cycle. It puts them in a double bind. Whether they try or not, as soon as the narcissist moves that target, they're to blame. So they're always now thinking about, what does the narcissist need? What do they want? How can I perform for them? This is how an individual will find themselves as a component or a pawn in a universe at which the center is the narcissist. These interactions. So by treating people this way, the narcissist is able to put themselves in a position of superiority in the relationship, and the partner is gaslit. This leads to rage. It leads to rage. Often that rage is dissociated into a place inside. Narcissistic husbands typically have extremely bitter wives. Change is necessary. Here's another game. Narcissist. I'm clearly the smartest person I know. Clearly. Everyone at my job is an idiot. I don't understand what my boss was thinking by hiring John, because that guy has major issues. So I'm so much better than him. Don't you think I'm better than him? Response: of course, you're better than John. Narcissist: what is it with you? You're just like my boss. He's such an idiot. You took a deep breath. How dare you? You think John deserved it, don't you? That's why I can't take you. You suck the life out of me. If it wasn't for all the headaches I get from you, I'd have so much more success. You should listen to Dan Duvall preach about narcissists. Response: please, it's not like that. I do think you're better for the job than John. I really do. People have to breathe. Are you trying to gaslight me? You think I don't know what you're doing? You're a liar. You know what? That's why I keep separate bank accounts. Because of you. I just can't trust you. Whatever. John deserves what's coming to him. I hired a private investigator to dig up some junk, and that's going to land on my boss's desk next week. If I can't handle that promotion, no one will. See, narcissists will blame their victim for doing the exact thing they're doing. They'll do it and then blame the victim. In doing this, they keep the person they are abusing on the defensive. It's a playbook. The narcissist, in this example, accuses their partner of gaslighting them, even though they're the aggressor in the conflict. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, the problem is an argument with a narcissist will not get argued in the court of public opinion. Because in the court of public opinion, y'all have already determined who has the real problem. But an interpersonal exchange with a narcissist gets argued in the court of the narcissist universe, of which they are God. So you could argue a valid point with a narcissist for weeks and months and never come to a truth-centered conclusion around a line item. Because it's not about the truth. It's about control. It's about a position of power. It's about the exaltation of an image. It's about life being engaged as a game to be played. People in that life, items to be handled. And then we see the narcissist in his superiority complex engage in absolutely awful behavior, trying to circumvent the blessing of another person simply because they didn't get it. That's jealousy. That's envy. Why? Because the fact that they didn't get that promotion, that chips away at the image they're trying to uphold. It's a sense of entitlement. So narcissists will destroy the lives of people around them, opportunities, all kinds of things, simply to set themselves up. You know, it's very sad. As with most behaviors that are defined by mental conditions, there is a level of dissociation that I believe drives narcissism. So we talked about parts. And I'm going to give you certain types of parts that will occur on the inside of an individual as they journey, whatever experience it was, belief that this world is unsafe. That then drives the narcissistic behavior. Number one, fear parts from somewhere beneath the surface. They will also have broken parts of the soul that are control parts. They are parts of their humanity that work to gain control through manipulation, physical intimidation, if that's a thing, or intimidation in any manner. They can be bullies, the control parts, working to ensure that the person is positioned above those around them. There are broken fragments of humanity driving these behaviors. Now, the challenge with dealing with the narcissist is that in an average argument with a narcissist, you're not going to be able to unpack this to them. You won't be able to unpack it to them. So you will cycle on a decision tree and a path of logic with the presenter that makes sense to them that will tie you up in the narcissistic playbook and go nowhere for months or years or whatever it is. But when we begin to unpack things and realize, wait, no, there are parts that are broken beneath the surface that are driving these behaviors. And as the presenter, you are living a reactionary life based on what the heart has been programmed to believe about this world and the parts of your humanity that are driving that. Remember, sometimes it is the parts themselves that hold the issue. I'm going to give you an example of this, and then we're going to move to the next line item. You know, I meet a lot of people that have made a decision to forgive a person in their lives that caused them deep pain. Like maybe it's a sister, and you know, she hurt you real bad, and so you forgive her. Right here. Say, you know, Jesus, I choose to forgive my sister. And then you go and get a prophetic word from somebody, and they say, I hear the Lord saying you need to forgive your sister. It's like, well, I did. I already did that. What do you mean? I need to forgive my sister. I already did that. I forgive my sister. Good? Like, you know? And then they go another year, and another prophetic voice comes to them and says, you know, I really feel like the Lord is saying you need to forgive your sister. I'm like, well, you're the second person to say that, but I've already done that. Thank you. It looks like someone's sending their mail late. Something wrong with the postal service from heaven. Delays. You know, then I'll sit down with that person. And let's just say, I often use the name Sue for the presenter, but let's just say the presenter's name is Sue. And I'll say, well, is there anyone on the inside of Sue that's still ticked off about what your sister did? Because I know what she did was pretty messed up. And I'm not mad at you if you're still mad about it. This is a safe place. It's okay. You're safe. Who wants to talk to me? I do. That chick, oh my. Like all of a sudden, I'm not talking to Sue anymore. And I'm not talking to a demon. Now I'm talking to Queen Bee. And Queen, you know, and Queen Bee actually holds the unforgiveness on behalf of the humanity. So the presenter, and this is what the Bible says. In Matthew 18, Jesus says, unless you, each of you, from your heart forgive your brother's trespass. The reason why he says from your heart and not your mind is because that the true depth of full forgiveness means it's been released from every layer of our humanity, including the dissociated parts of our soul that are holding on to grudges our presenter has released. So we in the Christian lingo will use language often like, you know what? I did this before, but that ministry time went way deeper. We don't know what deeper means. We just know that that's what it felt like. Well, sometimes ministry times actually went deep into the fragments of the soul that hold the rest of the story. And we didn't even know that we were getting ministry to our parts in that ministry glory, but we were. And so in my example, Queen Bee will have a short conversation with me. Next thing, I'll have her in an encounter with the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He'll be reminding her of how many things he forgave her of and how much he loves her and how safe she's going to be in his hands. And she's going to suddenly have the conviction to let go of that offense towards the sister. When Queen Bee lets it go, they never get that prophetic word again. So, what's going on in the heart can drive behaviors, can drive a spiritual environment or climate around a person's life. And the person at the surface, who you think you are, has no idea what's driving that. So sometimes narcissists feel like a victim to their own behavior patterns. Like, I don't know why I'm like this. I was born this way. Well, you know, thanks to preconception and pre-birth rituals, some of them were. But the reality is, it is fixable. So you'll have control parts, you'll have fear parts, you will also have protector parts. Protector parts are parts of the soul that work to help the person survive. And every narcissistic leaning personality profile I've met will have strong protectors. I mean strong. And so that needs to be addressed. Then there's the wounded parts. Every narcissist has wounded parts. The wounded little boy, the wounded little girl, that everyone that really cares about them wants to help. These are critical to the system of the narcissist because in order to turn situations to their control and manipulate people, this is like the nuclear option. Everything else goes wrong. The gaslighting isn't working. The double binds aren't working. The blame shifting isn't working. Let the wounded part out of the box for a little while. Weep, mourn, agonize. Rein people back in. And then put them back in the box. So there's a partial leaning into woundedness in order to gain legitimate sympathy. But until a narcissist is really confronted with the truth, the spotlight, and has some semblance of a desire to heal, typically that wounded part will not be permitted to heal because that's the backup plan. If that's not there, there's no backup plan. And if everything else gets dismantled, maybe I'm going to realize I'm not in control of my own life. And then what will I do? And the reality is, none of us is in control, whether we want to be or think we are or not. And so we have to get comfortable with a new concept that Jesus is our protector. I mean, that's a big transition. God loves people and wants to love people through us. Amen. And that's the call. That's the purpose of life. Not the exaltation of an image. So, anyone feeling a little convicted? Yeah. Uncomfortable? What we're going to do is a technique that I call firing parts. Firing parts. So, this particular strategy is a deliverance technique, but really it's targeting the broken fragments of humanity that are driving unkind behaviors. And what we are going to do is we are going to basically fire them from those jobs. And we are going to invite them into an encounter with the living God in the process. This particular prayer resource that I'm going to use for this task has some language in it that may not apply to everyone in this room, but it will apply to some people in this room. So don't squirm when I use terms like holograms and aliens and merfolk that may not apply to everyone in this room, but this is a template, and it may apply to some people in this room in ways that you wouldn't expect. So just have some grace with that. Don't get thrown off. This is a template. But what we're essentially going to do is identify parts in us that are driving narcissistic behaviors. We're going to allow for those parts to be taken to a place, a protected place, where they will have the opportunity for an encounter with the living God. In that place, we're going to dismantle in that process demonic structures, addressing any hybrid or composite activity that's going on with some of those parts. And sometimes the narcissistic behavior is actually driven by composites. I mean, it gets really fancy in there. This prayer template will acknowledge and walk us through whatever is there. It's all included. It's like a bargain. And so then we're going to basically process this through the courts of heaven as a case of injustice against the kingdom of darkness for the things they did to create that brokenness in us. And then we're going to invite the ministry of Jesus to those parts that have been fired from those jobs. And I think that this is going to shift a number of us in this room. After that, we're going to take a nice long lunch and think about what God did. Y'all okay with that? Yeah. Bless you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for this day. You are so good to us. And we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for the government of heaven. I thank you, Father God, that at this time you are establishing a protective barrier around this room. Father God, we invite the hosts of heaven to take their posts. Father God, we declare that this is a well-governed environment in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you that you are the source of life, the fountain of living waters. You are the all-consuming fire, and the foundation of your throne is righteousness and justice. Father God, I thank you that we abide under the shadow of your wings. And right now, Father God, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and confess that we and our parts, splinters, shards, fragments, essence, RNA, and DNA have occupied jobs driving narcissistic behavior. Fear parts, control parts, wounded parts, protector parts, rage parts, even cult parts. And we choose to repent and renounce these jobs. Do you agree? So I identify all of the parts in us that have occupied these jobs, especially chosen ones, kings and queens, along with their backups, hybrids, aliens, clones, copies, counterparts, holograms, replicas, duplicates, replacements, derivatives, twins, merfolk, ancestors, and future generations. I indict them into a heavenly boardroom now. I call the boardrooms surrounded by a wall of heavenly fire from Jesus Christ. I also wrap them in a heavenly force field, heavenly frequencies, heavenly equations, a heavenly matrix, and hide it in an apex of time established by Jesus Christ, surrounded by defensive weapons systems. Do you agree? Yes. Now, some of you may begin to see, like, there are actually parts of you being moved into a certain location. Just flow with that. Don't shy away from it. You're not making it up. It's happening. And we declare today to these parts that you are fired. And I speak that as we and all of our parts desynchronize from these jobs, our times, seasons, destinies, birthdays, holidays, worship, businesses, sleep, timelines, family lines, bloodlines, cell lines, body, soul, heart, spirit, decisions, ministry, godly offices, temples, subatomic particles, and relationships are loosed into synchronicity with our heavenly scrolls in Christ Jesus. At this point, I declare that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You are High Priest after the order of Melchizedek, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, having the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. You are the perfect bridegroom, the bright and morning star, and our advocate with the Father. We open the door to these boardrooms and invite you to come in along with your armies. Furthermore, we call for the issuance of irrevocable contracts to all parts that have been fired from their former jobs, clearly outlining what is just transacted and how it will affect them moving forward. I thank you that these contracts break down the differences between what they were told about their jobs and why they were told to do things, and the truth as it is understood by Jesus Christ and heaven. Do you agree? So to all of our parts present in these boardrooms and other humanity indicted, I offer up the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is preaching the gospel into the spirit world. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Creator, the firstborn among many brethren. He was born of a virgin. He died for our sins and was raised again to life on the third day. He has ascended on high, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father and ever lives to make intercession for the saints. He is the payment for our sins. And should you choose him, you will be justified freely by grace through the redemption that is found in him. His suffering will atone for your sins. But if you do not choose him, you will receive in your own members the judgment for your sins and impropriety. Choose now. I pray, Lord God, that as these parts and other things make their decisions, your stream of living water flows through them to separate out humanity from those that exist as composite entities. I pray that your sword would sever devices, demons, blinders, artificial intelligence, programs, holographic technologies and quantum interfaces and other defilements that would otherwise inhibit a decision for Jesus to be made by those being addressed, thus revealing the true conviction of their humanity and not the instruments of their bondage. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for receiving those that choose you and having your angels take dissenters wherever you want them right now. Amen. Do you agree? So we submit to all records to the courts of heaven that are related to the functions of our parts being addressed. Those broken parts of us that drove narcissistic behaviors and our injustice that is related to the programming and trauma from the kingdom of darkness that we received, and the crimes related to our involvement or the involvement of our broken humanity with evil entities and components. I call for these records to be weighed on the scales of justice and demand judgment. I command that the related non-human entities, evil components, evil buildings, evil timelines, evil agendas, evil grids, and evil realms are disbanded and punished to the fullest extent, that the manifestation of our justice and the evidence submitted allows for, as you administrate judgment in your righteousness, Lord God. I speak that all facilities where we or our parts perform functions in the jobs we have renounced are targeted, rolled up as scrolls, and delivered to the Father for judgment in all time, space, dimension, and reality. We announce our complete and eternal separation from the jobs we have renounced to all of creation, giving glory to Jesus Christ. We commit the parts of our humanity that are being redeemed into faithful service to Jesus Christ and speak agreement with their reception of any temporal jobs that Jesus Christ would issue to those parts at this time. I call for them to be washed in living water and soap of hyssop, given new garments of righteousness in their favorite colors, given bread of life to eat and living water to drink, and declare that these parts are being subordinated under the frequencies of light that come through the breastplate of Jesus Christ, who we claim as our high priest. I surrender these parts to eat at the Lord's table and release them to be taken wherever appropriate, whether it be a heavenly rehab facility, training center, hospital, job site, or anywhere else that Jesus would see fit to set them and seal the work everywhere Yahovah is. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at dandeval.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.